Does it seem like this was a really long off season?
Yeah, I was just saying it's almost like as long as since Fleetwood Mac put out an album. I noticed you went with a pretty deep cut there.
Tusk, right?
So it seems like it's been a while, and I think the way it ended probably has left a bad taste in the mouth of the guys who were here last year. So let's get it going.
All right, so based on the way it ended and what Carolina needed to improve, do you think, at least in terms of on paper, is it mission accomplished?
I think so. I mean, I think this is a better and a deeper team. I mean, we'll probably touch on this, but the guys who won't play tonight probably deserve to be playing in the NHL, and that's a pretty good sign that you have a group that's deep and talented, and one of the guys, Max Pacioretty, isn't even going to be here until February, but he'll pour on some instant offense, right around the time of the outdoor game. So they look pretty deep. I mean, obviously they lost some talented guys, but I like the guys they brought in. Seem like they're all guys who are hungry to win. So we'll see how it all fits together.
Yeah, that hunger. Brent Burns has never won a Stanley Cup. I don't believe Paul Stastny has ever won a Stanley Cup. Max Pacioretty, right? All these guys who are really good players, and in the case of Burns, probably a future Hall of Famer, have never won a Stanley Cup. There is, in some ways, a correlation to bringing Doug Weight in back in 2006. What do you look at when you see Burns, especially paired with Slavin? What do you see?
I think he brings the best of what both Dougie and Tony DeAngelo brought alongside Jacob Slavin. He's got the offense of DeAngelo in a different way, not the same kind of guy, but produces points, is an offensive threat every time he's on the ice. And then you've got the size of Hamilton and the offense of Hamilton. But then there's a competitiveness that is probably reminiscent of Tony too. Like the way Burns plays on the ice is he's not a complacent guy. So he's going to add a different dimension back there that maybe we haven't seen before. A big guy, and I'm not saying he's a Chris Pronger type who's going to strike fear into everyone,
right,
but he's definitely going to let the other team know he's there. And I think that's a big difference to me in that top pairing and just in the defense as a whole, is having a guy who maybe can intimidate a little bit.
I want to give Corey Lavallette, by the way, at Corey Lav on Twitter, credit. First of all, for a lot of things, I call Corey first, say, all right, what does this what does this mean? Corey knows the inner workings of things like the salary cap and what is allowed, what teams are allowed to do and not in terms of waivers and things like that. But some of the moves that were made were questionable to me, and so I get credit from other people for saying, hey, Jordan Martinook's going to be on the team, blah, 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 but it was all Corey, and I've always tried to give, it's like, this is Corey, Corey told me this, so I just wanted to give you credit publicly. Anybody who thinks that I was smart, no, it's Corey was smart, and I stole Corey's words. So I just want people to understand that. Corey Lavallette, North State Journal, is joining us here on the Adam Gold Show as we get ready for the Canes and the Columbus Blue Jackets tonight. I like this roster too, but if you had to be, all right, this is one thing I'm concerned about, what is it?
I'm going to give you two things. First, okay, I would say I think that second line, centered by Kotkaniemi with Svechnikov and Natchez, needs to prove that they can not just be a trio of really talented guys. They need to mesh together. So we need that to have success. And sorting out what's going on with the third pairing, I think, is important, because as we learned last year, when you get on the road, especially in the playoffs, teams are going to come after those third pairings. There's a reason Carolina won all their home games until game seven in the postseason, until game seven of round two, and that's because they got the matchups they wanted. Jordan Staal anchoring himself to whoever the best player is or best line is.
Right.
And then Jacob Slavin and Brett Pesce and Brady Shea, and then it was DeAngelo being able to play against the top, taking those three groups of people and being able to put them out there against anyone is a huge deal. When you get on the road, that third pairing is going to be tested. And right now, you know, Calvin DeHaan's a good addition back there. I think that's a good veteran guy. Let's see which of these other three guys can establish himself. And if none of them can, then, you know, I already mentioned Max Pacioretty is kind of your bang, here's our trade deadline acquisition kind of figure in all this. But maybe they look to bulk up there if none of these guys can really establish themselves.
You mentioned earlier we might talk about some of the players who didn't make the team. At least one that didn't make the team is eyebrow-raising for some. But Jack Drury is going to start the season in Chicago. And based on his two-game cameo a year ago and the expectations going into this offseason, we all figured that Jack would be part of the, not only part of the roster, but probably on the ice in the opener against Columbus. That did not work out that way. What do you think the reason for that is? And what are your expectations for Jack this year?
Oh, that was kind of his welcome to the NHL by not being welcome to the NHL moment, I guess. You know, I think he just had kind of an okay training camp. You know, it was okay. There was, you know, I don't think there's any concerns about Jack's work ethic, about his conditioning, about, you know, how smart of a player he is on the ice. When he did play, he's out there killing penalties. You know, he's a guy that's a reliable guy, and I don't think he's ever going to be a superstar player. You know, I don't think we're looking at like Seth Jarvis from last year where you have the potential of a guy becoming a star, but he's going to be an NHLer. Rod said so much the other day when I asked him, and it was just hours before they sent him down, you know, what did he think of his camp? And he said, you know, Jack's going to be a really good player, and whether it's now or later, you know, he's got a bright future. And I think that's totally it. I think, you know, you've got Derek Stepan, who I thought had a great camp.
Yep.
Stefan Nason led the AHL in goals last year. He deserves to be on the team. I mean, for all the people who get aggravated that people don't score goals in front of the net, nobody in front of the net, I'll tell you what, that guy told me, like, I'm never going to have many pretty goals. He said it's all going to be ugly and in front of the net. And if you want a guy who's going to do that, that's what he's going to do. And that's how he scored in the preseason, too. It was all stick lengths away from the goalie. So he won't play tonight, but, you know, he deserved a spot on this roster. So, you know, and then when you got a guy like Andre Kasha on your fourth line to start the season, mm-hmm. you're kind of like, there's a lot of talent here and you need to differentiate yourself. You need to prove that they can't go without you. And I don't think Jack did that this preseason. I don't think that's everyone needs to panic and say, oh, no, one of our best prospects isn't any good. I think he's a good young player. He's going to be fine. And the good news is when he does come up, they're not going to have to worry about him making a ton of dumb rookie mistakes.
Right.
He's not that kind of player. He's a smart, smart kid. It's just going to be, you know, kind of putting it all together. So I wouldn't worry about him, but, you know, he's probably going to go down to Chicago a little mad and light it up there. And then when an opportunity presents itself, I think he'll seize it.
Look, hockey's a physical game. there will be injuries. There will be opportunities for Jack Drury this year. And I love Jack Drury to the point where I think his ceiling is pretty high. Like I could even see him because of his smarts and, you know, playing that second line center down the road if the rest of his game comes to be, or maybe he is legitimately the replacement, if you will, for Jordan Staal, even though he is half the person in terms of size of Jordan Staal. Final thing for Corey Lavallette, North State Journal, and I've been saying this, and The Athletic, by the way, congratulations on that gig too. I've been saying this about this team all summer, and people have thought I was a little nuts. I know they brought in Max Pacioretty. I know they've added Paul Stastny late in the summer, but I love that ad. Andre Kasha, a player they have coveted, offensively gifted guy, player they have coveted for a number of years, and Brent Burns. But I think the difference in this team will come from the guys that they have had, not only last year, but for the past several years. Aho and Teravainen can't have good postseasons. They need to have great postseasons. Andre needs to be productive. Seth Jarvis needs to be productive. They both played well in the postseason last year, but neither were really that productive. Yes, Barry Kokaniemi has to become somewhere between what he is and what the player that was drafted third overall. He needs to be somewhere in that range, and it can't be closer to what he was last year. So, and Martin Natchez has to be maybe the closer to the guy we saw 2 years ago, not last year. So that's where the improvement's going to come. Is that a fair characterization of what this team needs?
Yeah, I mean, you build your team, you know, with your building blocks. And if your building blocks aren't strong, then the whole thing topples. So, you know, Sebastian Aho, I think, has another level. I don't think he's ever going to be a Hart Trophy level guy. You know, right. I just don't think he's going to ever score enough to do that. But we know he can score 40 goals. We know he's got the potential to put up 100 points. You know, that's probably not enough to get you an MVP talk, but it's enough to make everyone, you know, stop and take pause. And I think, you know, that's the level he needs to get to. Teravainen is, you know, one of the most fun players to me to watch in the NHL just because of how he does everything so well. So, yeah, that's huge. Svechnikov and Natchez, they both look stronger, faster. I don't know if Svechnikov looks more confident because I think he's always pretty confident, but Natchez seems more confident. Just they need those guys to take a step forward. You know, Andre had 30 goals last year, a little deceptive because of the empty netters.
Yeah.
and he's not going to be on the first power play unit. So a lot of people are expecting 40 goals. If he's going to do it, he's going to have to really, really up his game.
How many goals could Aho have if he could score on a breakaway?
Yeah, right. especially shorthanded. Like, you know, let's you know, have a great penalty kill for sure, but let's finish some of those shorthanded chances.
My gosh, I will see you on the fifth floor at PNC Arena tonight, Corey Lavallette. We'll do it again very soon. I appreciate your time.
Sounds good. I got my chicken and pasta here for my pregame meal. I'm ready to go.
All right, Wade Boggs. I'll talk to you later.
All right, buddy.
You got it. Corey Lavallette, North State Journal. At Corey Lav. I probably cut him off. We're just running out of time. But we'll talk to Corey Lavallette throughout the season.
I didn't realize chicken and pasta was like the pregame thing
I didn't
to
know.
Do.
I mean, why not?
You should.
Got a little protein and carb up at the same time. Very, very good.